Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The top commander in Afghanistan, Marine General John Allen, said today that a missile strike has killed the Taliban militants who took down that U.S. chopper on Saturday. Meanwhile, the U.S. military is investigating the incident, which killed 30 Americans and 8 Afghans. Some of the questions they're asking: why was the team called in to help Rangers engaged in a firefight on the ground? And what did the 22 Navy SEALs, 3 airmen, the 5-member Army air crew, and the 8 Afghans on board the Chinook helicopter know about the situation on the ground? And another question the disaster is prompting: why were they all there in Afghanistan at all? Osama bin Laden has been killed by Navy SEALs who are in the same unit as those who died in the crash. And military analysts like our next guest say the fundamental national security goal has been achieved in Afghanistan. It's no longer a safe haven for terrorists, precisely because of these special ops forces. Bing West is a retired Marine captain and former Assistant Secretary of Defense. His latest book is The Wrong War: Grit, Strategy, and the Way Out of Afghanistan. Bing, welcome back to Here Now.
Thank you, Robin.
And I just quoted from your testimony to Congress in July, saying, you know, Afghanistan is no longer a safe haven for terrorists. But what about that one guy who was apparently able to take down a Chinook helicopter?
Well, we have to distinguish what we're talking about, I think, and that is that there will always be tribes in Afghanistan who are perfectly willing to fight us. But the issue is, are we in Afghanistan in order to prevent terrorists from using it as a sanctuary to attack the United States of America, as they did in 2001? And if that's our objective, we've achieved that, and we can continue to achieve that at a relatively low level of having people like these SEALs and special operators in the country. If our objective is to go after every insurgent and every bandit in the country in order to help build a nation, holy smokes, Then we're going to be there for another 20 or 40 years. So we have to decide, what is our objective?
Well, even if it is just, you know, Al-Qaeda, terrorists in Afghanistan, you yourself said in your testimony that a duplicitous Pakistan has maintained a 1,500-mile-long sanctuary along the border with Afghanistan. Isn't that there one reason for staying in Afghanistan, to keep an eye on Pakistan?
This war of insurgents called the Taliban wanting to take power in Kabul is going to go on for another 10 or 20 years because Pakistan plays every side of the game. We can help to avoid a catastrophe over there, but that's different than saying we have to have counterinsurgency that's nation-building. I'm talking about needing a force of about 30,000 versus 100,000.
And you're talking about the kind of elite units that, sadly, were killed. But we're hearing these kinds of missions happen all the time. This one, of course, ended horribly. And one of our listeners wrote in to ask if, in a way, we're not remembering history here. Bill Funderbook of Birmingham, Alabama, wrote to say, wasn't it the U.S. that taught the Mujahideen in Afghanistan how to bring down a Soviet helicopter with these, one-man missiles? And that's why the Soviets left. He asks, why did we send a Chinook troop carrier into this rescue situation? Why not several armored and armed Blackhawks? You can address that if you'd like, Bing West, just that one specific question about that one mission. But what about the bigger question there? Are we potentially falling into the same trap the Soviets did, even with, as you recommend, a small group of forces in Afghanistan?
Oh, my goodness gracious, I'd say absolutely not. In any war, you're going to have casualties. I don't mean to be callous about it, but we shouldn't get too focused on one tragedy, because that's the nature of war. You're out there to kill the other side, and the other side is trying to kill you. The larger issue is, are we doing it in a prudent manner? And I would argue, absolutely, yes. If you look at what we've done, our casualties in this war, fortunately, are remarkably few. Let's not do the nation building. Let's scale back, because we don't have the money and we're wearing out our troops.
Well, and so you say, as the drawdown, which started this summer, continues, this is the drawdown of the 30,000 surge troops. The goal is to have all combat forces out of Afghanistan by 2014. You say go forward with a very small U.S. force with the special op units. But you note these issues of cost and also trust. You say pay the Afghan troops directly, circumvent a corrupt government, But also, explain your recommendation to Congress regarding cost.
Well, it's simple. We're broke, I believe. There's no way the Congress is going to continue to sustain $100 to $120 billion a year in Afghanistan. So what I said to the Congress is, why don't we cut a deal right now? Why don't you say, look, we're going to cut back, okay. But at the same time, if you cut back too much, the Afghans are going to fall apart. So have a lockbox and put, say, $30 billion in the lockbox. Then you can assure the Afghan security forces, we're going to continue to pay you for the next 5 to 10 years. You don't have to worry about your paycheck. And I think of all the things that we could do, that would be the key to assure them that we're not just going to walk away from them. And not let Karzai do it, because I don't trust him. You know, let General Allen have this lockbox, and he who has the gold rules. So it would help General Allen. He could use the Afghans to fight their own war, and we'd save money.
Bing, as you well know, the remains of the Americans killed in that copter downing were returned to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. And it was chilling to read that there's a debate in the Pentagon and the White House over revealing more than the names that have already been revealed because of a fear that the families of those victims might be targeted, since these men were part of the unit that killed Osama bin Laden. You know, just your thoughts on that, you know, the war coming home more than it already has, and this sort of quagmire that one you can get into.
Well, I'm writing a book now called The 1% Generation versus the Greatest Generation. The current generation, less than 1% serve in the military, and they're facing trials that the rest of us have no comprehension about, including if you release names, perhaps some wacky guy will come over to try to target one of them. We have 1% of the population protecting all the rest of us, and we don't even know who they are. The president's about to give the Medal of Honor to a corporal by the name of Dakota Meyer, and that's the sort of thing all Americans should watch, because this young man was the bravest American I ever saw in Afghanistan, and fortunately he's getting recognized. But too often we don't recognize that we have these Dakota Meyers, we have these SEALs, because they're such a tiny fraction of our population, and they live by a standard that's so different than us that most of us don't even know they're there.
What did he do?
His unit was pinned down and being slaughtered. They couldn't get any fire support. It's the most extraordinary battle in history in the last 50 years because it resulted in recommendations for 2 Medals of Honor and 3 letters of reprimand. They left them out there on their own, and his major choked, and so he relieved him. The corporal relieved the major and took over the battle and charged against the enemy 5 times before he broke the enemy. And he's alive today only by sheerest luck.
Bing, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.